15 now, good morning. Joining me now in the studio, Cheryl Fox, director of the Summit Land Conservancy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, better get that mic on there. So,
good morning.
First up, Summit Land Conservancy has been working on Stevens Grove. What's this?
So this is the property that we bought in Oakley last year, last January. Not January 2018, but January 2017. And we've been working for the last year to make that into a sort of natural area, a preserve area where people can go and walk along the river and just enjoy that as open space. And it's, you know, right in the town of Oakley, so it's convenient for people to walk or bike to. Our plan all along was to kind of get a trail out there. We've been partnering with Mountain Trails and South Summit Trails, who've done a lot of work. In fact, we've had a lot of partners out there helping us out, you know, sort of clearing the deadfall and making it a really nice little area. There was one house on the property. We sold that to somebody who wanted to have just one house. And so now the plan is to give the remaining, it's about 20 acres, to the town of Oakley, subject to a conservation easement. And we're finalizing all of that right now. So we're excited.
So who got the proceeds of the house sale?
So when we bought the property, we had imagined that the proceeds of the house would be part of how we paid off our initial loan to buy that property. And then we've got a number of grants from the George S. and Delore Echols Foundation, from the Utah Division of Water Quality, from the DWR, actually, because there's fishing access, and then ultimately from a Summit County grant to the town of Oakley, through the town of Oakley, for this type of a trail along the river.
Mm-hmm. Now, eventually Summit Land Conservancy holds the conservation easement on this.
Right.
The property owner has taken the tax write-off.
No, not in this situation, because this was a because we bought the ground. So the Summit Land Conservancy came in and bought the whole 23 acres that included the house. So when we turned around and sold the house parcel off, it went with a couple of acres, which were also subject to a conservation easement.
All right. And then Oakley City will now be responsible for maintaining it.
Well, the Oakley City has an agreement now with South Summit Trails for, you know, most of the maintenance. And South Summit Trails was very proactive about this and got an endowment. So the, you know, general taxpaying citizens of Oakley would not have to assume a lot of responsibility for the property.
Okay. Also coming up next month, you'll be hosting a conservation breakfast. What's that?
That's right. So every other year, the Summit Land Conservancy puts on a conservation breakfast. We've been doing these since 2008. And we have a brief speaker. We have the Conservationist of the Year Award. And we have a little presentation. So we're really fortunate. Deer Valley Resort hosts us. So every dollar that we raise at the breakfast does go to support our conservation and other programs. And, you know, we've had a lot of kind of high-profile land transactions this year. And, you know, when people donate money and they direct that gift to, say, Bonanza Flat or Osgathorpe or Stevens Grove, all of that money goes, it comes into us and it goes right back out. So in order to keep the lights on, as it were, and to keep these great projects coming that we can then present to the county and the community, we have this conservation breakfast. There's no charge to attend, but there is limited seating. It is a fabulous breakfast, you know, at Deer Valley. I can even say the bacon is amazing, and I'm not generally a fan of bacon. But we do ask people to make reservations, so they can go on our website, wesaveland.org, and then /breakfast, or give us a call at the office. If you go on the website, it's kind of towards the bottom of the main homepage, you can see. And so let us know that you want to come, because we do have limited seats. And then we hope when people do get there, they will be inspired to make a contribution.
Okay. So who's speaking?
Stephen Trimble. He's been a writer. He is a writer here in Utah. He's worked with Terry Tempest Williams and others to put together a number of anthologies with the hope of moving people to want to protect open space, red rock lands, all kinds of interesting lands. But he wrote a book called Bargaining for Eden a few years ago that I found so powerful. And it was about the land swap at the base of Snow Basin, when the Earl Holding, who owns Snow Basin, wanted to be able to build, you know, big resort development there. And the Forest Service owned the land. So Holding went and bought in holdings in the Forest Service in other parts of America and got a swap. So he swapped distant, hard to get to land for incredibly valuable land. And there's kind of a story behind that that I hope Stephen will tell us.
All right. Because of tax reform now, I mean, how are you guys handling that? I mean, donations now to Summit Land Conservancy are truly gifts. And I guess what I'm hearing is that I guess it depends on your income. But in some cases, charitable contributions really no longer a write-off.
Well, I think that depends. You know, I'm not a tax expert, but it depends on whether or not people take the standard deduction. And if they don't take the standard deduction, then they do still have the opportunity to write off their charitable contributions. The conservation easement tax benefit has not changed at all. So landowners are still able to have an enhanced tax incentive, which is so important because the enhanced tax incentive was set up initially so that people who have a lot of value in an asset like land, you know, if they give it all away in 1 year, they don't have enough income to offset that. They don't have enough income even over 5 years. So the enhanced tax incentive runs that you can roll that contribution over up to 15 years so that they can at least recoup a certain amount of what they have given to the community.
And then in terms of what you're budgeting for, I mean, because I'm hearing that nonprofits could expect to see a 30% decrease to their budgets. Have you guys even talked about that as a board?
Our board has not had a conversation about that. I have heard those kinds of things, too. I know that the tax write-off is important for a lot of people and a lot of donors. But I think people give out of love to whatever cause they give to, and that's not going to change.
Okay. Real quick, summer camps, you've got just a few spots left for the littlest kids.
That's right. We do two camps. One is for the 7 to 12-year-olds. Those have been sold out, but we do have a wait list for those. And then we also have a camp for little explorers, 5 and 6-year-olds. It's a half-day camp. It's $200 for the week. We take them all over the place. They have a great time. They get outside. They get their hands in the dirt. We've partnered with Bill White Farms, among others. And so we hope that people will, if they want to sign their kids up, we have two of those camps, and there is still place available. The first is from July 16th to 20th, and the second is in August. Looking on my notes here. Anyway, in August before school starts. And people can go again on our website, wesaveland.org, and then click the Get Involved tab, and that's where they can sign up.
Okay, Cheryl, see you next month. Thanks.
Thank you.
Cheryl Fox is the Executive Director of Summit Land Conservancy. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. With a site visit and tour of the new South Summit County Services Building, in the studio with a preview of the rest of the agenda, I have newly named Deputy County Manager Jana Young. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Filling in for Tom Fisher this morning. So can we start first with that site visit to the Canvas Building? I think I heard that it's actually up and running.
Yes, we're extremely excited. We started serving the public yesterday. Library is moved in, fully open, the health department. The DMV's moved in. They're still going to keep the main schedule they had in the old building on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but they're also open. We'll have our seniors moving in at the end of the month, and we're just excited. We want everyone to come check out the building. It's a gorgeous building. We think they'll be pleased with the technology in our media center and the innovations in the library. And yeah, we're glad we finally passed the finish line here.
Okay, we've got the siding up and everything.
Yes.
And it's looking good.
Yep, looking great.
Okay. Council tomorrow will also get a presentation on short-term rentals from a consultant, Brumby McLean. I don't know how to say his name.
I don't either.
McLean. he's with the firm Intopia. Mm-hmm. There's no scheduled action by the council, but can you give us a preview? I mean, will this research tell us how many short-term rentals we have and where they are?
So correct. It's not an action item. To give some background, the Park City Chamber of Commerce approached Summit County and Park City Municipal about doing this study to find out a little bit more about the short-term rental market in the county. I want to say that the sharing economy is sort of this concept that local governments are grappling with and trying to better understand the impacts. So the council's interest in this particular issue is about compliance. You know, are these units licensed? Have they made it through their fire inspections? Are we collecting the appropriate property taxes? And then some policy questions. What's the impact of these units on our neighborhoods? What's the impact on our housing stock and the council's strategic goals to find affordable housing in the county. What's the impact on the playing field and competition among those who offer this type of lodging? So the presentation tomorrow will start that policy discussion, and we look forward to seeing what the findings are.
Yeah, so again, I mean, did this consultant go out and look at where these units are? I mean, do we have a count on them?
From what I understand, yes. They looked at online listings and then compared that to where our licenses were, and found that there were many more listed that weren't licensed. And so I think the study is to help us wrap our arms around that, and try to understand how we can get more of those licensed.
Yeah. And do we have anything to compare this to? I mean, do we have some numbers from 5 years ago?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think this is a pretty new thing. And if you look at some of the data that we've seen in his PowerPoint presentation so far, Utah is on par with California in terms of the number of licensed units that we have. It's the most within the country. And then our county has the most within the state. So it's definitely something that we're interested in learning more about.
Yeah, because I'm guessing, I mean, I think what you wanted to find out is whether or not these units that are being, you know, short-term rentals used to serve as our long-term rentals.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm guessing what people are finding is that they can make just as much money with a short-term rental, having people in a lot less rather than a year-round full-time renter. Huh?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly about that, but...
Yeah. So we have heard before that one firm, Airbnb, is passing on the transient sales taxes that are being collected. Others are not. Do we have any idea how much we could be losing?
So this is a complicated subject, and I'm certainly not the expert. What I understand from our economic development director is that it's really tough to collect and remit these taxes because a lot of the operators of these housing units use third-party websites where maybe a portion of the transaction is conducted in Washington State and then another portion in Canada or wherever. And so it's been really tough for the State Tax Commission and certainly for local governments to understand what should be collected and paid to whom. So that's not something that, you know, I can really speak more on than that.
Yeah. You were the liaison to the state legislature. Did we ever get the State Tax Commission to do anything about this?
This last session, this was not a topic that came up. So I know in prior sessions they have looked at other things in terms of how local governments can regulate it, but I'm not up to speed on all those details.
Okay. Now, again, was this something that was done by Summit County and Park City?
Correct, but really being spearheaded by the Park City Chamber.
All right. So right now we're just really in the information gathering.
Correct.
All right. What's the next step?
I'm not exactly sure. I know there's a couple more phases of the study that they would choose to look at next, and so the council will have that discussion tomorrow.
All right. The council will also get an update on the 2018 transportation sales tax bonds, and we're talking about bonding how much?
I believe it's about $22 million, which... well, that was what was budgeted, but it's going to be closer to about $19 million because of changes in the closing costs. And if you recall, what this really is in 2016 in November, county voters overwhelmingly passed two sales tax initiatives to fund transit and then transportation infrastructure to support transit. So what these bonds are doing is leveraging those monies and bonding for the engineering and construction for these transportation projects, many of which will occur in the Snyderville Basin. And so it looks like they're scheduled to be sold tomorrow, and that's why our finance director is going to the council to update them on the details of those bonds.
My understanding is that the bidding for the bond will take place early tomorrow morning, so you should
correct.
Have some news.
By the council meeting, correct, yep.
Okay. And it sounds like you've saved some money with the closing cost?
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, about $3 million bucks. All right. Let's see, and then we've also got another step happening with the assessment bond for the Lower Canyons Village area. Summit County will acquire the property from IHC for the employee housing for more than 1,100 pillows, and the bond funds are paying for that?
Correct. So this item probably needs a little bit more explanation, so bear with me to get through some of the details here. So last year, you know, we've been on your program often talking about the employee housing obligations at the Canyons as part of that resort development agreement. So last year, in December 2017, the council identified a parcel in the Lower Village called LV6 on where as the location for this housing. So they're going to purchase that property for about $14.4 million using an assessment bond that I think will be issued this month that the owners of the Canyons will pay into, and then lease that land to the Canyons Village Management Association to develop and finance the housing on that parcel. And then once the bond retires in 20 years, the council will convey that parcel to the CVMA. So the ordinance that the council will be considering tomorrow at the meeting, which is what this agenda item is what allows for that transfer of the land in year 20.
So the fact that it then is CVMA's property, does that then give them first dibs on who gets to live in those 1,100 beds?
So I don't know the answer to that. That's certainly I can go and ask the staff about and get back to maybe on post something on Facebook for you and your listeners if that's helpful.
Okay. Let's see. Next week, the council also scheduled to discuss the solid waste management plan. What's the status of this?
So, Leslie, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. This is a challenge that I've been involved in the last year. I think what it comes down to is every week, Republic Services comes to your house, my house, every resident in the county, and they pick up the trash that we generate. And then they bring that trash to a Summit County landfill. The problem is that landfill is running out of space. And in fact, it would have reached capacity at the end of this year had we not excavated a new cell that will be operational in the fall. That buys us now another 5 more years. We're at the point, though, where we don't want to keep buying more time. We need to have a longer-term, sustained vision and plan for the landfill, as well as our overall solid waste management in the county. So this master plan that we've been working on for the last year that we will present to the council is the roadmap to get us there.
Okay. So it then details what we're going to do then, besides just this extra cell?
Yeah, so I think it's important to understand it's a dynamic document, so there'll probably be changes. There'll be decision points along the way that the council will have to make. But yes, it includes in there current service obligations. It includes compliance that we have to state and federal regulations we have to comply with, commitments to develop the landfill. In addition to that new cell, we expect about 4 more in order to get as much capacity out of the landfill as possible. In addition to that, it suggests several short and long-term programs that the council could pursue to extend the lifespan of the landfill even further through reduce, reuse, and recycling methods. Some of those programs involve composting, a commercial cardboard waste diversion project, and constructing a recycling facility that we're proposing to share with Recycle Utah and perhaps Habitat Restore. In addition to that, the other important piece is it commits to spending 2019 developing a funding plan for how to sustain our program, but also to cover these programs. We're at the point now where even our fixed costs and our current commitments and obligations are exceeding what our general and municipal funds can afford. And so we really need to find some sort of sustainable, dedicated funding mechanism to maintain the program and get to where we want so we can protect our air, land, and water and be good stewards of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask. Where does the money come from? At this point, you don't know?
Yeah. There are several scenarios that we outline in the plan. I'm not sure where the council is on those. We also have to develop them further, but there are things such as increasing the tipping fee. As you know, there's a $36 annual per household waste management fee. Do we want to increase that? There's a possibility of establishing a special service district that all the municipalities would have to opt into, that the council would oversee but would have a little bit more autonomy to raise mill levies or bond, that sort of thing.
So there was also some talk at one point about a transfer center. What, is that part of this?
Yes. So that's still contemplated in the plan. It would be a recycling transfer center as a way to reduce the small truckloads of recyclable materials that we have going back and forth between Salt Lake Valley and the county as part of the council's strategic goals regarding environmental stewardship. It would also save us on hauling costs. The plan would be instead of all those Republic trucks going to Salt Lake, they would go to our facility, dump everything there. Eventually, we could maybe sort out some materials that have value, such as metals and cardboard. But primarily, then it would transfer all of those materials into a larger truck that would then go down to Rocky Mountain Recycling. It also presents an opportunity for education, which is why we want to partner with Recycle Utah and create an educational facility there with some interactive exhibits to help our residents and our visitors understand how to reduce, reuse, and recycle and the unique aspects of the rules around that here in the county.
So have we identified locations for Recycle Utah or this transfer center?
Not yet. We are looking at some parcels along the 40 corridor. We know it has to be close to this area so that residents will drive out there and use the facility. But we also don't have land in Park City or elsewhere. That seems to be where the opportunities are, where it keeps it still in a centralized location. But that's something we're continuing to explore with the council.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
Just that, again, we're excited about the Camas building, and we hope our residents will come check it out.
Okay. Jana Young, again, Deputy County Manager. Thanks for your time this morning. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. The Kimball Arts Center invites the public to a couple of events happening this week. In the studio with details, I have Communications Director Amy Roberts, along with the Board of Directors Treasurer Dan Lemaitre. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So first up, Amy, Thursday, some classes for kids and adults?
Yeah, we've got an event called Listen to Your Art. We've got two events, kind of musical themed. Listen to Your Art is on Thursday night, and it's really a little sampler buffet, I guess, if you will, of art classes that we offer. There's four classes people can choose from. We've got glass fusion, printmaking, figure drawing, and ceramics. Participants can choose any two of those, and they'll get a little instruction and be able to make something that they can take home and get a taste of everything that we offer there at the Kimball.
Right. So what's the cost of that?
That's $35. We also will have a cash bar. And if you don't want to get a sitter, no problem. We've got a kids class going on at the same time. Kids are just $20, and they will be making little musical instruments out of recycled materials. So kind of an art musical class.
All right. So why is the Kimball doing this? Just to...
Well, it started, I'll turn it over to Dan. It started with an idea to bring music into the Kimball and some live performances, and then we added this class to sort of complement it.
Okay, so before we get there, the hours then on Thursday?
The class, I believe, starts at 6:30, if I'm not mistaken. You can register online at KimballArtsCenter.org under our events.
Okay. All right, so you can talk a little bit more then about why you guys decided to do this, Dan?
Sure, Leslie, and thanks for having us on this morning. I have to tell you, it's an awfully exciting time to be associated with the Kimball, and partly because we feel a special responsibility to ensure that the new Arts and Cultural District is successful. The board and the staff have done a tremendous amount of work of going to other arts and cultural centers to find out what they need in order to be vibrant. And the mantra we keep having is active and dynamic. You need to have an arts and cultural district that when people come, they don't just look at stuff, they participate. And it changes. The worst thing for us here in Park City is if we built an arts and cultural district and people came to visit it once and said, I've seen it. And so a huge part of that is the programming. And as part of the Kimball's vision for our new center, which will be substantially bigger than our current footprint, is to expand our programming into a lot of things we don't do currently. And part of that is music. If you are going to have an arts and cultural district, there simply is not one that exists that doesn't have music as a central part of what goes on there. We probably won't be the only venue in the arts and cultural district that does music, but we are certainly going to embrace music and anticipate in our building that there'll be a variety of venues to be able to have different listening experiences with music. And so all of that is a part of what we're trying to do now as we wait for the building to be able to get going, is to test drive some of these things. And so part of this is to start to incorporate things. So we're doing drop-in art classes now. We are going to have a drop-in art center in the new building. We're going to be doing metal, woodworking. We're going to have expanded open studio space. We are going to have culinary arts and cooking classes, because one of the things we have to do in the new center is make sure the lights don't go off at 5 o'clock at night. We need to help build foot traffic in the Arts and Cultural District. Music also will be a big part of that. So we're really excited about the event on Friday night. We have, as you know, I think it was described as an eclectic group of musicians coming, but it's just going to be a fun night. We're turning the gallery into a little Turkish coffee house motif. Bill McGinnis, who is the program director for the evening, has lined up a great group of folks to come and listen to. So it should just be a fun night. It's a fun night to start to get music as part of what we believe the mission of the Kimball Arts Center will be in the future. And so we're awfully excited. Tickets are $20 at the gate. There will be a cash bar. Doors open at 6:30. The music will run from 7 o'clock until 9 p.m., and we just hope that it will be a great way for people to kick off spring break by coming in on Friday night and listening to some great music at the Kimball Arts Center.
Okay, who do you got coming?
So we have a lineup of folks, including Kristen Lloyd, Teresa Egerton-Cook, Shane Jackman, Molly McGinnis, Omar Gerardo, and there'll be a jazz quartet from the Park City High School, led by the director of bands there, Chris Taylor.
All right. So do you need to RSVP for that, or you can just show up?
You can buy tickets online in advance, which we pleafully ask that you do. again, our KimballArtsCenter.org, and it's under events. But yes, you can, if it's a last-minute decision to come, we'll still welcome you, and you can buy them at the door.
Okay. Sounds fun. Anything else?
You know what? I would tell everyone to follow us on Facebook, Kimball Arts Center. We have lots of exciting classes and events that you'll find out about first if you're following us on Facebook or other social media channels. Our summer camps for kids are out. They're already starting to fill up, so I highly recommend getting your kids involved in that soon. And our adults classes for the summer are now online, too.
Great. Okay. Amy Roberts and Dan LaMaitre, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie.
You're listening to the Local News Hour.